Okay. And based on any type of streamlining of processes, do you think we're getting, what kind of a return on investment are we getting here, would you say?
Well, I'm very excited about the vendor database that they have provided us. It's going to provide much better information about where the minority vendors are, to both seek them out whenever we have RFPs, but in the purchasing area where we don't have quite the legislative authority of capital, it will enable us to establish some goals, particularly for subcontracting, to increase our overall spend. They've given us a lot of good ideas to consider legislatively that would enable us mm-hmm. to improve. And in terms of their idea of having one responsible office for diversity, I think that will enable us to streamline and use our resources better than if we just had a campus-by-campus focus, that we can leverage our resources much better on both the outreach and on the data.
Thank you.
I would just add a comment, I guess, in addition to the one that I made during the committee meeting, that as I read the original recommendation of seven people dedicated plus halftime, you clarified that to say 2.5 additional people. I guess my concern, and Mike knows that my concern never ends every day, of how can we be better at doing what we do more efficiently, that I'd certainly encourage us to look at implementing what we're talking about, but finding ways to reallocate the people that we have in the organization to accomplish this as well as all the other work that we have to do, and then decide, do we really need to add people? I understand the basis of what you're saying, but in the environment we're in, that's a tough thing for us to be looking at in conjunction with everything else that we're trying to do.
And it might very well be that either through job sharing or through reallocation that you're able to accomplish it with existing resources. That would obviously be the goal.
You bet. Thank you.
And one thing, Ed, that I'd say, it's just confusing me in this presentation is, you know, are we engaging in a debate with a outside consultant about the way resources are allocated within the university? And I think that's a very complicated territory to move the board into.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's interesting to hear their report, but I'm not treating the report as management's recommendations to us. I think, you know, Mike and the
yep.
team will do what they do, and if it's appropriate to inform us, they'll do that too.
I was just giving my opinion.
No, I think that's appropriate. I'm just saying I think we need to.
You have a right.
That's right. Yes, Chris, you're right. You're exactly right.
And, you know, I think Jim's, I don't know what you were reading from, but it interested me, and to the degree that...
It's a nice summary of the report that we received
I
with
see.
Some percentages of that. You know, it's
I mean,
the
I think
quarterly report that we get on the diversity spend every quarter.
I think a great role for the board is to request information and suggest formats. And I believe the information, if well presented, will drive decision making.
Absolutely.
So I think if we could ask you to share that report, maybe we could have it duplicated and made part of the regular distribution package.
My pleasure.
That would be helpful.
Okay. No problem.
Got one question for
sure.
For Heather, you spoke about addressable spend being the areas where minority vendors exist. Does that mean, and you cited telecom as a sector, does that mean that there are no minority telecom vendors that exist in a particular geographical area, or those who are not registered as MAFB vendors?
Well, that actually is an area where the state agency has said all telecommunications that we don't have to include in our overall goal. That was a decision that they made. And I really can't answer, you know, what their rationale was at that point in time. But they have told us, okay, you should not be including telecom when you establish your overall goal. Now, they may change that. Every several years, they do a review of the market. And in fact, they're doing a study right now through the Department of Central Management Services, and they may say in the future that it should include telecommunication, because there are vendors.
Yeah, I know some.
Vendors out there, obviously.
Yeah.
Yes, but that's really one of those big considerations. They said we should exclude all of those.
Interesting.
Good.
What are the special circumstances for MAFB firms which might cause higher costs and therefore justify the decision by apparently the state of Minnesota to provide a 6% cushion for MAFB firms?
The special concerns or considerations, I think it, in the case of Pennsylvania and Minnesota, it is that just correlates to their commitment to get more small and disadvantaged businesses involved in their particular program. And from their perspective, I think it's just their philosophy. That's one way of how to do it, how to accomplish it. I don't think it was really about special because I think the pricing, though, in terms of bidding.
Well, I think it had more to do with the economies of scale and being able not, they're generally smaller firms, and they don't have as big of a base to distribute their overhead costs.
So they're saying to themselves, if 10 years from now, if we want a competitive set capable of bidding on our work, we're prepared to spend 6% more
with
the littler firms.
Yes,
in
and
the
help
hopes
them
that
grow their businesses.
And I do think they want to grow the we're trying from a sourcing perspective to increase the numbers of those MAFB-type businesses that actually can become prime contractors.
And do you think that you can a dedication to supplier diversity come without higher costs or not?
For the university?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's about philosophy. It's tone at the top, right? I mean, I think it's a message. It's about this is something that's very important, and it speaks to, I think, what we talked about in March, which is how do you get that message throughout the university system to everyone that touches the procurement process. I think it's less about cost, and I think if we leverage internal resources, there certainly are outreach activities that can be accomplished. To me, it doesn't. I don't think it has to be at a greater cost, but I think it has to be with a strong commitment.
As to that latter point, you mentioned the potential of a task force or a special subcommittee. I mean, I'm loath to change our committee structure, but I do think that we have been functioning as a committee of the whole, and I don't think we've had a board meeting since September 2009 where we haven't had a discussion on diversity issues, and I think anything that we can do to continue to promote the topic during these meetings would be very helpful.
You know, and perhaps it might be that you even include as part of your dashboard reporting, maybe it's expanding some of the indicators that get reported on, so that procurement as that evolves.
Yes. Anybody else?
Great. Well, Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you.
One more question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. This is a very general. It's not addressed at the Bronner Group at all. I just have a general observation. As I say, it's not addressed to the Bronner Group. This is, I think, for what we're paying, we're getting a tremendous amount of information. But what we're looking at here is basically state law unfunded mandate that, and those costs are being paid with basically tuition dollars. And I guess in a perfect world, you know, I don't think that the students should have to pay for unfunded mandates.
Although it'll teach them to get used to it.
Yeah. but we have to strive for the ethical high ground.
Oh, I agree. I do think that the educational experience is enriched by diversity. And if they're going to compete in the future, they have to understand how everybody
is
different than they are.
I shouldn't have used the diversity this is a diversity issue, and I mean separate.
About the general.
I'm talking.